You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us here for today's show. Although we begin today's show with the story of the day. If you haven't been following the Sandra Bland case, get yourself on Twitter and look up the hashtag Sandra Bland. Texas woman who died in police custody after a weekend in jail following being arrested for not completely cooperating with a police officer following him pulling her over for changing lanes without a signal. Yeah, a woman is dead. And it just so happens this woman, Sandra Bland, is a police reform activist. So we're going to dig deep into this case on today's show. I've got some disturbing audio from the dash cam video that was released. Now, the audio comes from the officer's mic and was added to the video, as I understand it. And there's all sorts of questions about the video itself, whether or not it's been edited or doctored. But we'll play the audio for you so you can hear the actual confrontation between the woman and the officer. And you can just make up your own mind whether similar actions would have happened to a white woman versus a black woman. That's up for you to decide. But regardless, this woman is now dead, and there's many questions brewing about this situation. We'll get into that in our Radical Rant segment. Also on the show today, it's Wednesday, time for a Hemp Day Hump Day update. We'll be talking with our good friend and organic goat farmer, Doug Fine. He is the best-selling author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail. He'll be joining us for our Hemp Day Hump Day update. If you've got any questions for Doug, you can get him in to our chat room. You can find our chat room at 420radio.org. Just click the live chat button. All right. Also on the show today, we've got some drug war data mining. New data coming to us from the Gallup organization, which has polled people on whether or not they ever have and currently do use marijuana. The numbers are up all across the board. We'll give you the details on just who is currently a pot smoker in this country. Also on the show today, in Behind the Headlines, a report we've been looking forward to for months now, coming from the office of the Lieutenant Governor. Actually, I don't think it's his office. It's the coalition they put together. They put a commission, I should say. They put a commission together, a blue ribbon commission to study marijuana legalization, what the options were for the state of California. That report is now out. We'll give you some of the details of it. And this should give the go-ahead for the people at Reform CA to go ahead with their language. They've been waiting on this report and wanted to make sure that what they wrote up would comport with what the lieutenant governor is suggesting. Also, we've got the 420 radio news coming up, and in our headlines today, coming to you from all across the country, we've got the push to legalize medical marijuana in Florida, an appeals court decision in Arizona on the probable cause of marijuana smell, some data on moving and seniors with respect to legal marijuana states, a festival in Portland, Maine that may or may not be on for August 9th, and the bongathon has been banned from the town of Stoner, Colorado. Folks, if you can't have a bongathon in Stoner, where can you have a bongathon? It's all coming up next on the Russ Melville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Expand your horizons and join us every Wednesday night for Gordon Green's Music Planet. You'll hear an eclectic mix of music from all around the world. Catch the first show of the month for an intro to world music. It's Gordon Green's Music Planet, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at midnight on 420radio.org.
Four20 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, July 22, 2014. The second push to legalize medical marijuana in Florida is moving full steam ahead, with more than 100,000 signed petitions presented to the state on Wednesday. A similar proposal in 2014 garnered 57.6% of the vote, shy of the required 60%. This year's version of the amendment addresses loopholes that critics said would result in marijuana dispensaries on every street corner, doling out joints to minors, and giving drug dealers a legal supply line. It allows the state to ban felons who are serving as caregivers from buying marijuana for qualified patients, and it tightens the definition of a qualified patient. The Department of State now has 30 days to review the 100,000 petitions to make sure at least 68,317 of the signatures are valid. Then, state Supreme Court will determine whether the proposal is constitutional and focuses specifically on one subject. The Arizona Court of Appeals recently delivered a verdict suggesting that with the passing of the state's medical marijuana law, the odor of raw or burnt cannabis could no longer be used to determine probable cause. In the decision, Judge Peter Eckerstrom wrote that medical marijuana is lawful under Arizona law, and therefore its scent alone does not disclose whether a crime has occurred. Essentially, this means that Arizona police can no longer petition a judge for a search warrant simply because an officer claims to smell weed. Instead, the court declared that law enforcement would need to implement an odor plus policy when investigating potential criminal activity associated with marijuana. Otherwise, Ekstrom wrote, the state is violating constitutional rights of its people. In Massachusetts, the Supreme Judicial Court ruled in 2014 that the odor of cannabis, regardless of its chemistry, could not be used as probable cause to search a vehicle. Seniors are seeking out states where marijuana is legal. Data from United Van Lines show the top U.S. moving destination in 2014 was Oregon, where marijuana had been expected to be legalized for several years and finally passed a ballot initiative last November. Two-thirds of moves involving Oregon last year were inbound. That is a 5% jump over the previous year. The Mountain West, including Colorado, which legalized medical marijuana in 2000 and recreational use in 2012, boasted the highest percentage of people moving there to retire, United Van Lines said. One-third of movers to the region said they were going there specifically to retire. Taylor West of the National Cannabis Industry Association said, quote, in Colorado, since legalization, many dispensaries have seen the largest portion of sales going to baby boomers and people of retirement age. A lot of the things marijuana is best at are conditions which become more of an issue as you grow older, end quote.
Organizers of a medical marijuana festival were telling supporters Wednesday that the August 9th event in Portland, Maine is still on, even though the city council on Monday shot down a request to revise their permit. Not so, according to City Hall. The New England Cannabis Farmers Market had been presented as a free event for medical marijuana caregivers and others to network and share information. However, after advertisements revealed there would be a $10 entrance fee and suggested that marijuana might be sampled at the event, the city brought the organizers back before the council Monday. Ultimately, the council denied the request to allow an admission fee by a 5-4 vote, and city administrators revoked the permit. On Wednesday, city staff directly informed organizers that the event had been canceled. As of 5 p.m. Wednesday, the group's Facebook post saying the event was still on had not been updated. A district judge in Montezuma County, Colorado, on Wednesday issued an injunction against the Bongathon from holding their 32-year-old annual event in the small, unincorporated town of Stoner. Complaints from more than two dozen neighbors prompted the request for an injunction. Stoner is a town site that lies on Colorado 145, about 65 miles northwest of Durango. Event organizer Chris Jetter of Aurora told the Denver Post he was prepared for the decision and had already relocated his private, invitation-only marijuana smoking competition. According to the group's Facebook page, the new site will be 2.5 hours south of Denver and will be announced to participants a few days beforehand. The gathering will be held July 31st and August 1st. The Bongathon website says tickets can be secured for a donation price of $80 to $420. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, July 22nd, 2014. I'm Russ Belville.
The Russ Belville Show, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. Welcome back. Today, as we go behind the headlines, we take a look at the report issued by the Blue Ribbon Commission, paneled by Lieutenant Governor, or headed by Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom of California, that issued its 93-page report today on how it believes marijuana legalization should unfold in the Golden State. Current public policy polling shows about 50 4% support for marijuana legalization in the state of California. There are already six different marijuana legalization initiatives that have been submitted to the Secretary of State's office. The Reform CA, the Coalition for Cannabis Policy Reform, is waiting to release their language to see if it comports with this new report, which is entitled Pathways Report, Policy Options for Regulating Marijuana in California. I tweeted out some links earlier today on my Twitter account, at Radical Russ, if you want to find a link to the report. It's pretty readable. And the big takeaway most people and most media are getting from this report is a quote from Governor Newsom, Lieutenant Governor Newsom, who says, "I'm more cautious as a parent, more cautious as a policymaker. We don't want this to be the next gold rush," end quote. And he says that drafting this report tempered significantly his enthusiasm for unfettered legalization, adding, quote, "We're not arguing for a free market. We're arguing for a very regulated market that has real oversight that is flexible." The report calls for things like requiring ID and age limits to enter stores, limitations on what types of products, such as edibles, that can be sold. But the report also says that the taxation needs to be very carefully considered. Lieutenant Governor Newsom said, quote, "Perhaps the most important message from the report is what we are not recommending. We are not recommending maximizing the amount of tax revenue. We are not recommending that we promote and create a large industry, and we are not promoting and recommending that the price of marijuana drop significantly. And the reason is all of those goals would depend on and encourage heavy use," end quote. Now, according to Stanford University psychiatry professor Keith Humphreys, a former ONDCP flack, he said, quote, "High prices, which you can induce by putting a minimum price on or setting high taxes, are good for deterring use, especially by kids. But if they are too high, the illicit market can still continue. So that's a balancing act. And that's why one of the other things we emphasize is the importance of some flexibility in the process," end quote. Well, I think this idea of trying to find the sweet spot of making marijuana just expensive enough is bound to fail. I do agree with the report on setting taxes low and cautioning against trying to maximize that tax revenue. The price of marijuana is going to fall. Artificial attempts to keep the price of marijuana from falling are doomed to fail due to the law of supply and demand. There is clearly plenty of demand for marijuana, especially California marijuana, and as it becomes more legal, as it becomes regulated, the risk behind it drops. The ability to use economy of scale to maximize production will grow, and that is going to lead to the price of marijuana plummeting. As much as the public health policy people don't like that idea that we might end up with $50 ounces, it's going to happen. If not $50, lower than that. So the public policy people better get their minds around the idea of adopting other methods like education and prevention to try to keep kids from using marijuana than any false hope of artificially keeping the price high that will only keep the black market in business. Especially, as the report notes, they want to protect the ability of individuals to consume, possess, or cultivate marijuana within certain uniform statewide guidelines, apart from additional authority granted to local government. So if this report is calling for protecting the right of individuals to cultivate their own marijuana, that further argues that there's no way you're going to artificially keep the price higher than what the market will bear. If you price it too high to try to keep the kids from getting it, the kids will just find a way to grow it themselves. The adults will find a way to buy from their friends instead of shopping at the overpriced pot shops. So keep that in mind. Some other parts of the report that are worth noting are some of their guidelines. They want to protect California youth and promote public health and safety, reduce the size of the illicit market to the greatest extent possible. And good news here is the report also points out that it needs to offer legal protection to responsible actors in the current marijuana industry who strive to work within the law. So they're paying close attention to their existing medical marijuana quasi-legalization that they've got going on, and they want to find a way to bring them in to the legal markets. They also talk about wanting to protect continued access to marijuana for medical and therapeutic purposes for patients, and apply health, safety, and labor protections to cannabis workers as other workers, and provide for legal and economic opportunity for California's diverse workforce. The report's available online. Check out my @RadicalRust Twitter feed for links and highlights.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
All right, folks, it's 20 after. 3:20 here in the Pacific Time Zone, 4:20 out there in Denver. Even in the small, unincorporated town of Stoner. How sad. Stoner's gonna lose its bongathon. That just ain't right. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, drug war data mining on the latest Gallup poll numbers on marijuana use in America. We break it down by demographics when we come back.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific for Cultural Baggage, podcasting at drugtruth.net. Pioneering marijuana radio activist Dean Becker continues his illustrious career, interviewing reform luminaries on his Century of Lies and Cultural Baggage shows from Pacifica's KPFT in Houston. Check our online listings for Cultural Baggage with Dean Becker from drugtruth.net.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we got a new report out from the Gallup polling organization. The headline reads, "More than 4 in 10 Americans say they have tried marijuana." The number is actually 44%, meaning that 9 out of 20 people in America age 18 and older have tried marijuana. And once you get above the age of 50, once you get above, what's the age break on that one? Ages 30 to 49 years old, half the people, 50%, have tried marijuana. Ages 50 to 64, 49% have tried marijuana. So you get anyone age 30 to 64, flip a coin, heads they've tried it, tails they haven't. Now, this 44% reading is the greatest amount of people admitting to having tried marijuana since Gallup has been tracking this question. The last time they asked it back in 2013, 38% said they had tried marijuana. So that's increased by 6% now, or 6 points, I should say. That's not to say that in 2 years, that many more people have actually tried marijuana. It could very well be that many more people are willing to admit it now that 4 states have made it legal. This number has stayed relatively unchanged since 1985 when I graduated high school. 33% had admitted they'd tried marijuana. By the late 90s, it was 34% and then 38% by 2013. But it did increase greatly since Gallup has been asking the question. Back in 1969, only 4% of U.S. adults had admitted that they had tried marijuana. 4%, 1 out of 25 people, and now we're up to 9 out of 20. Taking a look at some of the breakdowns on this, they also asked people, do you currently smoke marijuana? And people who say they currently smoke marijuana registered 11%. 11% means that 1 out of 9 adults in America age 18 and older admits to currently smoking marijuana. 1 out of 9. Now, in a separate question on the poll, 19% say they currently smoke cigarettes. We are at 11% for marijuana, 19% for smoking cigarettes. This also represents an increase. The poll in 2013 found 7% admitting that they currently smoke marijuana. We can break this down by separate age groups as well and genders. Men, 13% admit currently smoking marijuana compared to 6% of women. In other words, 1 out of 8 men is admitting that they currently smoke marijuana. 1 out of 8 say they currently smoke marijuana. And in the case of the women, the number is a little bit closer to 1 in 17. So it's almost twice as likely that men, it's more than twice as likely men smoke marijuana than women do. As we break it down by racial demographics, 1 in 12 white people admits to currently smoking marijuana compared to 1 in 9 non-white people admitting to smoking marijuana. So the combination of the 1 in 8 men and 1 in 12 white tells me that we've got more non-white males that are smoking marijuana as a comparison of those four possible groups. Also, taking a look at the age demographics, we find that almost 1 in 5 adults of young adult age, we're talking 18 to 29, are smoking marijuana. That's 18% was the number. 10% of those aged 30 to 49, so 1 out of 10, 6% in the 50 to 64 age group, and 3% age 65 and older. When it comes to the political breakdown, it's pretty much what you would expect. Democrats, 12% smoke marijuana, 11% of independents, and just 1% of Republicans. That explains a lot. When we break it down by income, we find the less money you make regularly, the more likely you are currently smoking marijuana, but the annual income didn't make any difference in whether or not you've tried it. So people making less than $30,000 are 14% of them are smoking marijuana. That's 1 out of 7. Middle income, 30 to 75,000, 9%, and above 75,000 income, 7%. Perhaps this just means that poor people have to use marijuana more because they can't afford doctors to write prescriptions for drugs that don't get you arrested. Could also be that being poor is a very stressful lifestyle and more people need to smoke marijuana to deal with it. Education made some difference in people currently smoking marijuana. People with some college coming in at 12%, college graduates at 10%, post-grads at 4%, and high school or less sitting at 9%. But again, made no difference in whether or not someone had tried marijuana. One place where there was a marked difference was in religiosity. People with no religion, atheists or agnostics, 18% currently smoking, 56% who've tried it, compared to Catholics and Protestants, 6 and 5% respectively on currently smoking, 36 and 39% on having tried marijuana. So much less likely to have tried marijuana if you're a Christian churchgoer. And when they broke that down by how often one attends church, the numbers were even more pronounced. 14% who seldom or never attend church currently smoke pot compared to 2% who attend church weekly. Having tried it, 51% for the seldom never churchgoers, 27% for those who attend church weekly. Gallup.com. You can get all that information. And this was a poll conducted July 8th through the 12th, so fairly recent. Random sample of 1,009 adults, 18 and older. 50% cell phone, 50% landline. All right, when we come back, we'll be speaking with Doug Fine for our Hemp Day Hump Day. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show. the voice of the marijuana nation. Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Turn of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day update.
All right, everybody, welcome to our first Hemp Day Hump Day from Legal Oregon. We got Doug Fine on the line. How you doing, Doug?
Oh, I'm doing great. Celebrating like everybody else. Just had a terrific field visit to an Oregon hemp planting and experienced the overall Measure 91. Legalization. Congratulations to the Beaver State. It's the best initiative implemented thus far and an important step forward.
Oh, absolutely. Are you in Oregon still?
I am not. I am back on the ranch.
Back on the ranch with Taylor Swift and the rest of the goats?
Taylor Swift is pregnant. My goat Taylor Swift is pregnant and she's doing a day now.
Well, you'll be a proud goat daddy, I guess. All right. So you talking about Oregon, we've got hemp being planted in Oregon. There was a threat to Oregon hemp. The House passed this bill that was going to put a 2-year moratorium on hemp and pull the plants out of the ground because, oh no, cross-pollinization. But the Senate stood up and defeated that bill. So hemp continues to be planted. Doug, tell us about your visit to the hemp farm and what we're looking forward to here in Oregon.
Yeah, sure. I'll start just with the big good news. It's more interesting to me than the politics, especially as the end is predetermined. The end is that Oregon is going to be a premier spot on the planet for humanity to demonstrate the progressive economy that can result from the cannabis plant, all varieties of the cannabis plant being above ground. To the extent that after every successful revolution, there's infighting and all that kind of business, and the stories of how it all resolves are interesting to some people. Well, let me see. To me, this is way more interesting, and hopefully to some of the listeners. July 4th, Edgar Winters, Oregon's first modern hemp farmer, first cultivated hemp at age 7 in Alabama, learned from his grandfather, plants multiple acres of hemp in Oregon on the 4th of July with friends before the barbecue. That was kind of fun and patriotic enough. But after the barbecue, we realized, I should say he realized I was still on hand, so I came down to help, that there was weirdness with the irrigation. So long story short, in the evening, the problem was too much water involving ditch digging and relocation and marveling at the sunset in Oregon. And then late and early, before sunrise, getting down to make sure that the proper irrigation that was supposed to go on did go on overnight. It hadn't. That meant rousing various irrigation officials over the 4th of July weekend at their emergency contact numbers. So hemp is coming back, and humanity will be saying thanks within a few years. Oregon's going to be at the forefront. I'm thrilled at the perseverance of the farmers and that there's hemp in the ground in Oregon today.
Yeah, it's really, really good news. And I hear there's 13 licensees currently in the state of Oregon. Is that what you've heard?
That's right. And I don't know how many have officially planted yet, but I know it's more than one. And then just to answer your question, on the political side, you know, thank goodness for how a bill becomes a law and that there's an entire process, because the right, what was right would prevail, which is non-interference with the hemp program. But I think the most, and by the way, that last attempt, which was one of many during this legislative session in Oregon at hemp, was not about anything to do with what I hope are temporary misunderstandings between some farmers of various types of the cannabis plant. It was actually because of a provision that said hemp can't be planted within 1,000 feet of schools.
Yeah, what's up with that?
it's too much silliness to even go into, but the whole thing was silly, and I'm glad that it all was solved. But more importantly, it allowed us there. To me, who supports all the return of responsible, sustainable, all of the cannabis plant, and want to see that be important in Oregon's economy, and tax base. I don't like to see any friction at all. But the fact is, I think it's going to, in the long run, be a benefit, because it will allow folks to really discuss openly what they're doing. And we have to do that. We have to do that when it comes to water use and everything else. There's not going to be any worries about the things that were making a few folks fearful this year about different types of the cannabis plant and cross-pollination and all that. That's not going to even be something people discuss within a few years between hemp and psychoactive cannabis. It's going to be potentially an issue from home folks that are amateurs and learning as everyone first did, and might not know how to sex their plants in their backyard, being adjacent to commercial cultivation farms. In other words, psychoactive. But all of it can be resolved, I think, through good communication and showing that there was a deeper philosophical reason why legalization was a good thing, which was it's going to make people go about their business with their neighbors better. And that's what I hope the resolution of this is.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Doug Fine, the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail. It's our Hemp Day, Hump Day update. And now that we've got hemp planted in Oregon, what happens from here? I mean, are people ready to process it or produce it or sell it in any way? Where do we go from here?
Well, you know, when I'm reflecting back on this spring and this season, the part that I'm most disappointed in, because there's so many things that have to be resolved, importing seeds, dealing with state and federal issues, moving to full legalization of hemp and also cannabis on the federal level. But the one thing that was hardest for me this year was agreeing at one point when I was trying to help farmers talk to the state about how much the state might be willing to import, which is what was necessary to get federal permits, even though that's not necessarily a federal law mandate. And the final negotiation before the state dropped out was centering around limiting it to 5 or 10 acres per farmer. But the fact is, we do have biomass processing in Oregon and around the country already, just waiting for those endless acres of hemp. And so to do the research, and remember, we have research legalization only on the federal level, to do research on whether or not Oregon can become energy independent from the cannabis plant, also known as industrial hemp, by incredible amounts of biomass going into clean energy processing, we need large acreage grown. And so it was very frustrating to feel the limitations. And I feel like this hemp industry is, like the overall cannabis industry, ready to burst at the seams. There is no end in sight to the growth. The Canadian industry is growing 24% per year. And one of the reasons it was so important for Oregonians to get significant acreage in the ground, the reason why all of us, anybody who supports any kind of cannabis, but anybody who also supports a positive, sustainable future for Oregon, should be so glad that Oregon hemp farmers succeeded in getting significant acreage in the ground, is that it's the most significant first year. Each state is growing exponentially in acreage as they learn their routine and their process. We're not the only ones to go through growing pains. Kentucky went from a half dozen projects last year to 224 this year. And as you mentioned earlier, Oregon has twice what Kentucky had in their famous year last year. So more reasons to offer kudos to the Oregon hemp farmers.
Fantastic. So we got Kentucky, and I know Colorado's been growing hemp. Where does hemp sprout next in this country?
Connecticut just legalized yesterday. Tennessee's coming on strong this year. They had a ninth inning victory. They were having trouble with whoever they were dealing with on the federal level, getting approval of the way Kentucky has. And by the way, which was offered to Oregon farmers, hemp farmers this year, but the state just really, in the end, couldn't make it happen in the way that farmers have hoped and that the folks doing negotiation on the federal side had needed, which is basically very similar to the Kentucky situation. Personal farmers making MOUs with the state who actually imports, holds, and distributes the seed for that stupid, ridiculous, last lingering prohibitionary reason that needs to go away anyway. But it just delays things. So anyway, Kentucky figured out a deal. Oregon was able to use that deal this year, but wasn't able to on the administrative side. Tennessee, for some reason, wasn't able to strike that deal till really a few weeks ago, and so they're going big. They have a lot of acreage going, so they're going to be significant. I think North Dakota looks to be good. You mentioned Colorado. Hawaii has a lot of people interested in it, but the state thus far has been restricting research to a very few purposes and single projects, so hopefully that's going to change. And on and on and on. We're 24 states and growing, Russ.
That is great news. Now, as each of these states moves forward in researching hemp and in working with it, I imagine the federal prohibition prevents them from being able to, like, can Oregon get seeds from Kentucky? Can Tennessee send research to Iowa? I mean, how does that work?
That's a good question. I could give you my own interpretation. I'm not a lawyer, but from studying the arguments, I have confidence that if the argument is made that domestic hemp seeds returning to their genetic origins is actually just a rightful return and not interstate commerce, if that were challenged, I think the hemp side would win because there is a lot of heirloom seed that's still left, domestic seed, the bottom line is when it comes to hemp, the states that are willing at the state level to push back and say to various federal interpreters, no, this is okay, this is okay. They might get a little leeway. There's a lawsuit here and there, but basically the feds are not arguing on hemp. And one of the claims that I don't think is legit coming from the Fed side is that you can, for instance, in Montana, you can distribute hemp seeds within Montana if they can be proven to be from Montana. But as long as they cross state lines and that's interstate commerce and that has federal jurisdiction, if so, no more so farmers argue than any other agricultural crop, which is what hemp now is on the federal level, at least for research purposes. So if you're part of an approved program, you should be able to do that, but farmers are cautious about it unless they're willing to challenge. And you hear that a lot, like, we think this is okay and this is right, and if anybody else is claiming otherwise, we'll challenge them in court. And thus far, that hasn't happened. Like, everything just continues to thus far flow smoothly. And Kentucky even do its second year. One of the things Kentucky did that pushed boundaries that was a very conscious thing. The farmers asked the question, the state agriculture department consulted the state's lawyers and came back and said, sales and marketing research means you can sell your crop, and it's still research under the program. In other words, under federally permitted crops. So basically, sell your crop.
That's amazing. Doug Fine, you know, the amazing world of hemp is just exploding all across the United States. We're finally catching up with the rest of the industrialized world, and we thank you so much for being our expert on these matters. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Ralph. Look forward to it.
And give my best to the goats.
Oh, I will do.
I love those kids. See what I did there? All right, when we come back, we'll get into the radical rant. We've got Fresh Buds PDX dispensary owner Jay Bakes in the studio. And all sorts of things to talk about. 7:10 is coming up on Friday, and we got something special going on for that. So stick around. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show. That was a recorded interview a couple weeks ago with Doug Fine,
And coming up next in the Radical Rant, the story of Sandra Bland.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just...
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Yep, that's the one.
All right. Hey, this is Steve Burke, and you're listening to 420 Radio.
Yeah.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Today we're going to talk about policing in America and the death of Sandra Bland. If you've not been following this story, the basics of it is on July 10th, Texas trooper by the name of Ensenia pulls over an African-American woman named Sandra Bland. During the encounter, the officer gives her orders that are unlawful. She tries to assert her rights. He takes that as being combative and not compliant. He threatens to tase the woman, saying, "I'll light you up." Pulls her, rips her out of the car, throws her to the ground. She complains that she's epileptic and you've hit her head. And he replies, "Good." The woman was pulled over, allegedly, for signaling or for changing lanes without signaling. She was taken. And this, by the way, happened in Hempstead, Texas. If you want to throw a pot angle on it, Hempstead, Texas. And she was then taken to jail. Then on Monday, after being in jail for 3 days, a female officer discovers Sandra dead from asphyxiation, having allegedly hung herself in her cell. Now, this is a woman who was asserting her rights, who knew her rights because she was a police reform activist. And she had just gotten a new job at Prairie View A&M, which is near Hempstead, Texas. And she was excited about that new job. And during the entire police encounter, said, "Oh, I can't wait to get this to court. I can't wait to get this to court."
That woman, supposedly with all the potential in the world, a new job she had just moved to the area for, and a fervent desire to go to court, for some reason this woman decided she would kill herself in police custody. And where she killed herself in police custody was in a cell that was conveniently around the corner, hidden from the cameras in the jail. The cameras in the jail are supposedly activated by motion sensors. And in the video showing the cops reacting to finding her dead, I noted that there is a jail cell smack dab in the middle of camera frame that is empty at the time. And there's an exit door back by where her cell is. Everything about this sounds as fishy as the case of Victor White, the man who allegedly was handcuffed with his hands behind his back. Was it Ohio, I think it was? And somehow got a handgun out of his waist pocket and shot himself in the chest in the front with his hands handcuffed behind his back. Okay. Oh, and by the way, Sandra Bland supposedly hanged herself. She's a 6 foot tall woman and hanged herself in a cell where there's nothing over 6 foot for her to hang herself from. Let's play the audio of this encounter. This is the actual footage. It's been edited for length. The actual audio of the officer's encounter with Sandra Bland, and I'll pause it for certain comments.
You okay?
I'm waiting on you. This is your job. I'm waiting on you. What do you want me to
do? Oh, you seem very irritated.
I am. I really am. I feel like this tap is what I'm getting a ticket for. I was getting out of your way. You were speeding up, tailing me. So I move over and you stop me.
Now, that's the case of this cop had seen her come past, and he flipped a U-ey and sped up to catch up with her. And as he's catching up with her, she moves over to the right-hand lane so he can get by. All right, let's continue.
So, yeah, I am a little irritated, but that doesn't stop you from giving me a ticket. So. Let's
continue. All right, so she's a little irritated. Says that doesn't stop you from giving me a ticket. So nothing out of the ordinary here for a lot of people who've been pulled over by a cop who are a little irritated by the incident. But this cop, Encinia, wants to escalate the situation.
1237,
are you done?
You asked me what's wrong and I told you.
Okay.
So now I'm done, yeah.
Okay. You mind putting out your cigarette, please, for mine?
I'm in my car, but I have to put out my cigarette.
Well, you can step on out now.
All right, so he gives her an order to put out her cigarette in her own car. She rightfully recognizes, wait a minute, you have no right to tell me to put out my cigarette in my own car. And it's at that point when he orders her out of the vehicle. Now, it should be noted that a cop can order you out of your vehicle. That is perfectly legal.
I don't have to step out of my car.
Step out of the car.
No, you don't have the right.
Step out of the car.
Now, at this point, he's opened her car door. She has not consented to any searches, and there's no probable cause. She's been pulled over for a traffic violation. There's no probable cause to suggest that she's armed or any sort of threat to the officer or has committed any crime, but now he's opened the door and is threatening to pull her out of the car.
The right to do that?
I do have the right. Now step out or I will remove you.
I refuse to talk to you other than to identify myself.
Step out or I will remove you.
I am getting removed for a failure.
Step out or I will remove you. I'm giving you a lawful order. Get out of the car now or I'm going to remove you.
And I'm calling my lawyer.
I'm going to yank you out of here.
Okay, you're going to yank me out of my car?
Get out.
Okay, all right.
25.
Let's do this.
Yeah, we're going to.
Yeah. Don't touch me.
Get out of the car.
Don't touch me. I'm not under arrest. You don't have the right to take me.
You are under arrest.
Okay, so this is the first moment where the cop says, you're under arrest. Now, what could she be under arrest for at this point? You can't arrest somebody for making a lane change without signaling. She has not assaulted the officer in any way. She has merely exercised her rights. Now, she has refused to get out of the car, and perhaps he's saying she's not complying, but she asks why she's being arrested. Listen.
I'm under arrest for what?
25 for what? 7 County FM 1098, just north of 290, send me another unit. Get out of the car!
another year. That number 98.
Get out of the car now.
Why am I being apprehended? You're trying to give me a ticket for your failure?
I said get out of the car.
Why am I being apprehended?
You just I'm giving you a lawful order. I'm going to drag you out of here.
So you're going to drag me out of my own car?
Get out of the car.
And then you
I will light
me?
You up. Get out.
Wow.
That's him pulling his taser and saying, get out of the car. I will light you up. So now she's being threatened with physical violence and a taser, which is supposed to be a less than lethal option for cops to defend themselves from possibly being harmed. There's no indication this woman's going to harm him. She's just not complying with his order to get out of the car. This cop continues to escalate the situation, but fearing being tased, she finally complies and gets out of the car.
Now!
Wow.
Get out of the car!
Really, for a failure to signal. You're doing all of this for
get
a failure
get over there.
Right, yeah. Yeah, let's take this to court.
Now this
let's
is
go ahead.
For a failure to signal, yeah.
Yeah, let's take this to court. Yeah, let's take this court for failure to signal. Now he's got her off the side of the road. Now, off the side of the road, this is where another citizen had pulled up and started filming with their cell phone camera. So we have some of that footage in another file of her on the ground and the cop with his knee in her back and everything like that. Had that original cell phone video not come out, we might never have gotten this dash cam video with the audio.
For a failure to signal.
Get off the phone.
On my school.
Get off the phone.
I'm not on the phone. I have a right
put
to
your
record.
Phone
this
down.
My property.
This put your phone property. Down.
Sir?
Put your phone down right now. Put your phone down.
She puts her phone on the trunk of her car.
Why am I being arrested?
Turn around.
Why won't you tell me that part?
I'm giving you a lawful order. Turn around.
Why will you not tell me
what's going on? You are not complying.
I'm not complying because you just pulled me out of my car.
Turn around.
Are you kidding me? This is some bull.
Put your hand behind your back. If you would have just listened.
I was trying to sign a ticket. Whatever.
Stop moving.
Are you serious?
Stop moving.
Oh, I can't wait till we go to court. Ooh, I can't wait.
Ooh, I can't wait till we go to court. Ooh, I can't wait.
You are getting a warning. Until now, you're going to jail.
No, I'm getting for what?
You can come
for
read.
What?
Come read right.
I'm getting a warning for what?
Stay right here.
For what? Well, you just right pointed here. Me over there.
I said stay right
get
here.
Get your right. Let me. Oh, I swear on my life, y'all.
Stop moving.
I'm standing still. You
stay
keep
right
moving
here.
Me.
Stay right there.
Don't touch me.
Come read right over here. This right here says a warning. You started creating the problem.
You asked me what was wrong.
So, yeah, now he's trying to say, I was just going to give you a warning. Now it's all your fault for what? Not blindly obeying illegal orders that he was giving her? For answering honestly when he asked if she was irritated?
I'm trying to tell you,
person that's
do,
illegal?
Do I feel like I got anything on me? You're about to break my wrist. Can you stop? You are about to break my wrist.
Stop moving. Stop now. Stop it.
Stop resisting, ma'am.
If you would stop, and I would tell you.
Stop signal.
When you pull away from
right.
me, you're resisting
you
arrest.
I know it make you feel real good. You're a real man now. I you just slam me, knock my head in the ground. I got epilepsy, you
good.
You throw me to the ground. You knock my head to the ground. I've got epilepsy, you motherfucker. And his response, good. Now, listen to the female cop who had been on scene as well.
Good.
You should have thought about that before you start resisting.
You should have thought of that before you started resisting. It's her fault that she answered the cop's question that she was irritated and wouldn't put her cigarette out. Blame the victim. Now, I have video that I got from 1992. It's the famous one where the guy's pulled over in Maine and he's screaming at the cop about the traffic ticket. And I can pull up a number of videos of people that have posted them online, refusing to answer police questions, not rolling their windows down all the way, basically asserting their rights to a degree far greater than what Sandra had done. And those people are still alive. The more we learn about this case, the fishier it gets. The FBI and Texas Rangers are currently investigating it. But it once again shows we have a racist criminal justice system in this country. I can guarantee you, in that same circumstance, had it been me pulled over, I'd still be alive right now. Even if I had done exactly the same things she had done. doesn't pass the smell test, folks. We'll talk more about this coming up in hour two. Toker Talk Radio will also take your calls at 84-420 Radio. But for now, that's all the time we got in hour one. From Legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You're taking seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you